This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Is it really you? Are you sure that it's really you? Are you sure that you are not a AI digital clone of yourself or someone else? AI is now destroying our relationships.
Smile. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
How are we to understand what's going on in our churches today? What is spirituality anyway? Is it possible that we could have a whole group of people who claim to be spiritual and yet really are not pursuing Christ, are not pursuing even God as we understand him? I'm looking today at a whole slew of articles that are strewn across my broadcast desk, and they're very concerning, to put it mildly. I have also in my hands a book called The Day America Told the Truth. This book was published back in 1991, apparently written in 1990, by two advertising executives, James Patterson and Peter Kim. Would you be interested in knowing what they had to say about religion in America in 1990, 91? They asked the question, what is going on in congregations, parishes, and synagogues across America? The news is good and bad, they said. God is alive and very well. But right now in America, fewer people are listening to what God has to say than ever before. 90% of the people, when questioned, say they truly believe in God. But you would never know it, looking at what they do or what they actually believe. In fact, they concluded, for most people, religion plays virtually no role in shaping their opinions on a long list of important public questions. This is true even for questions that seem close related to religion. And not one of those questions did a majority of people seek the guidance of religion in finding answers. In fact, they said most people don't even know what their church's position is on important issues. That, perhaps, is the true measure of America's indifference to the teachings of organized religion. We don't follow what our church says because we're not interested enough to find out what it is saying. Isn't that interesting? So as they said, as we enter the 1990s, only one American in five, that's 20%, ever consult a minister, a priest, or a rabbi on everyday issues. Half of Americans have not been to a religious service for a minimum of 3 years, and one in three hasn't been to a religious service for more than a year. More than half, 58%, went to services regularly while growing up, but less than half of those, 27%, do so today. Only 1 in 10 believe in all of the Ten Commandments, and 40% believe in only 5 or fewer commandments. So they ask the question, who's the new moral authority in America? Their answer is, you are, partner, you are. Well, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms. And today, as we take a look at what's happening in our churches, it is a matter of, well, it's very troubling. And we're going to take a look at a pattern, and I hope that you'll try to follow this pattern with me because it is very important. What you may not know is that for over 30 years, I have been collecting articles from all over the country and the world concerning a whole slew of issues. I probably have, hundreds of files dealing with a variety of different issues. But one of the significant, or two of the significant files, have to do with the Bible and have to do with the church in America, or the condition of America vis-a-vis or with regard to the matter of our Christian faith. So, first of all, perhaps the best thing to do would be to set the stage to understand how we have gotten to the point where we are today. To understand that, we might go back, we could go back, for instance, to 1961, 1962, where the United States Supreme Court decided to remove the Bible and prayer from the public school. We could do that. What were the significant aspects of that? Is it we relate to going to church and becoming part and believing in the Lord and God and obeying his word? Well, maybe, maybe not. We don't usually look to the public schools to give that information. By 1982, the Supreme Court had removed the Ten Commandments from the schoolhouse walls, and many churches were beginning to remove the Ten Commandments from their own walls. At that time, in 1982, the same year that we removed the Bible the Ten Commandments from the schoolhouse walls, the United States Congress declared the Bible, the Word of God. They called it the Year of the Bible. Now, Congress did this. It was Public Law 97-280, a joint resolution of Congress, the 97th Congress. Whereas the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people, whereas deeply held religious convictions springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation, and so on, whereas renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through Holy Scripture can strengthen us as a nation, as a people, now therefore be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives of the United States assembled that the President is authorized and requested to designate 1983 as the National Year of the Bible. So the statute was entered in 1982 for the purpose of designating 1983 as a National Year of the Bible. Now, let's talk about that for just a moment. Why did that take place? It took place because they recognized that the Bible was falling out of favor in American life. Not because they were wanting to acknowledge how much favor it did have, but they acknowledged that the Bible was falling out of favor in the moral and spiritual estimation of the American people. So they did what they could, established 1983 as the Year of the Bible. Very similar to what happened in the late 1970s when the same Congress decided to establish the Year of the Father, or Fathers. Why? Because fatherhood was falling out of favor in the United States of America. So in order to try to bolster up fathering and fatherhood, the Congress decided to establish the Year of the Father. That was, I would say about 15 years after they tried to reestablish the Word of God or the Bible in America. Now, what does this say? Well, by 1990, when Patterson and Kim, two secular advertising agents for the J. Walter Thompson advertising agent, penned the book The Day America Told the Truth and asked the question, who's the new moral authority in America? And they say, you are, partner, you are. In other words, the Bible no longer had authority by 1990. Its authority had waned so badly that secular advertising agents, in doing their complete research, what a fascinating book it was, The Day America Told the Truth, revealed that Americans don't even trust the Bible. They don't even trust God. They trust themselves as the new moral authority in America. So what has been the effect of that on the Christian faith in America since? That's what we want to look at as we continue on with the program today. This is Viewpoint, and Viewpoint determines destiny.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismier. Today we're exploring whatever happened to religion in America. One writer says it's gone obsolete. The demise of traditional faith in America. I had thought we were going to interview him today, but perhaps we'll do it another day. But today we're going to take a look, explore very deeply, looking back, what has happened to us in this country. It really isn't a mystery. In fact, quite frankly, the author of the book that I just referenced, Why Religion Went Obsolete, says that the big turning point was around 1991, 1992. Well, it was in 1992 that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart right there in my law office in Southern California saying, son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause in the land as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation, America's greatest crisis hour. What was America's greatest crisis hour? We were abandoning our faith. We were abandoning the lordship of Jesus Christ. We were abandoning the fear of the Lord, and things were not going well. In fact, so badly were things going that Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, U.S. News and World Report in 1992 and 1993 were all reporting how the American dream was unraveling. Now, they didn't necessarily point to the spiritual aspect, but they did point to the fact that the American dream was unraveling. Things were not going well, not going well at all. And by 1993, April 5th, and I've quoted this so many times, when Time Magazine had on its front cover a cross, in the lower right-hand corner, right there on the front cover, said these words, the generation that forgot God. Not the one that was going to forget God, but the one that already had forgotten God. So when Patterson and Kim, right in 1991, published their book, The Day America Told the Truth, and say we become our own moral authority, we've abandoned the God of our fathers. He was absolutely right. Everybody was confirming it, even the secular news magazines. Even Forbes magazine, the number one business magazine in America, devoted its 75th anniversary edition in 1992 to asking the question, whatever happened to virtue in America? You see, Peter, in his epistle, had written, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. We were not doing that because we were abandoning the legitimacy of our faith in the God who had created us and preserved us a nation, and we're establishing ourselves as our own God, or actually creating a God in our own image, as Time Magazine said. As Americans were flooding back to church, it seemed like a revival, but it was not. It was just the opposite. They said Americans were flooding back to church and church would never again be the same because Americans are looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. One made in their own image. So that being the case, why do you think the churches would be under attack right now? Why would the Family Research Council publish a lengthy analysis of what's happening, hostility against churches in the United States? Well, here's what they say. It just came out, analyzing incidents from 2024 and going back 5 years. The rise in crimes against churches is taking place in a context in which fewer Americans are attending religious service or identifying as a specific faith. According to Gallup, 42% of U.S. adults regularly attend religious services 20 years ago, but now that number has fallen 30% to 30%. In others, it's fallen a third. Additionally, a Pew Research Center study found that 80% of U.S. adults say religion is losing influence in American life. In popular culture, Christianity is often treated lightly or in outright mocked. Why? Because it's lost its mojo, so to speak. We've lost the sense of the God of history. We've lost the sense of who God is, the same way that God had to deal with Israel. Remember, over and over again through the prophets, he said, hey guys, don't you realize I'm God and there is none other? Don't you get it? I am God. Why do you continue to resist me? Why do you continue to defy me? Why do you continue to disobey me? And yet the word obey today in America, according to pastors who have joined me here on this program, over and over again have admitted that the word obey is the most hated word in the church today. We're trying to put the pieces together to help us to understand the dynamics of what is really going on. Now, let's go back to another aspect of this, and that is to a series of evaluative articles stemming from polls and so on, going back to 2007. The author of the book, Why Religion Went Obsolete, The Demise of Traditional Faith in America, says that by the year 2009, things had deteriorated so badly in our country that it was clear that Christianity and even other religious persuasions were going obsolete. Now, with that 2009 figure, remember this started, we saw the start of it in 1990, 91, in fact, 91, 92. By 1993, we saw that Americans were creating a custom-made God, one made in their own image. In other words, we didn't like much the God of the Bible. We had to create a new God, one that told us what we wanted to hear, that made us feel good, that made us, we turned the Christian faith into a psychologized version of good feelings. So, by 2007, Jonathan Falwell, who was then pastoring the church that his father had started, Jerry Falwell, published this article, Culture Turning from God. That was August 4th, 2007. He said a recent poll reveals that our fellow Americans are growing progressively more skeptical of the existence of God and do not believe in other key principles taught in the Bible. While the May Gallup poll indicates that a large majority of Americans deem that there is a God, 86%, that belief is shrinking. In fact, in 2004, it was 90%. And it was more than 90% when we formed this ministry, Save America Ministries, in 1993. So it's been progressively falling. It was like 97% in 1993. By May of 2004, it had dropped to 90%, and by 2007, it dropped to 86%, and now it's somewhere in the 60s. You're going to follow. This is just the belief in God. Remember, the devil alone believes and trembles in God. Even ChatGPT now admits there's a God. That's amazing. It's true. The poll also found only 56% of respondents saying that religion was very important in their own lives. 26% in 2007 said religion was fairly important. 17% it was not very important. And remember, these are the same people that overwhelmingly said they believed in God. That is 86%. There's a terrible disconnect from what we say we believe and how we live. In 1965, 70% of Americans said that religion was very important. That was a 14% decrease over the last four decades. So this is a big, big picture. This is a picture of the falling away, Jonathan Falwell said, in the last days before Christ's imminent return. Our culture, he said, is increasingly adverse to the absolute truths of the Bible and those who embody those truths. We must be true even as the culture falls away, the great apostasy. All right, now that came from Jonathan Falwell in 2007. We move from there another 2 years to January of 2009. This is the progression now that we have been watching and have been experiencing in our country, and explains why things have been happening the way they have been happening, and why we launched this program in 1995 to confront the deepest issues of America's heart and home from God's eternal perspective. A lot of people think, oh, well, that's too, you're just too hard. You're too straight. You're too, no, you've conformed. Most people have conformed to the easy believism of the day. The belief of the custom-made God. Oh, they believe in God, they just don't like what he has to say. So they replace what God has to say with what they want to believe. In other words, creating, in effect, a custom-made God. And when a secular news magazine like Time can see that, you know we've got a problem. And that was in 1993, the very year we formed Save America Ministries, 1993. By 2009 now, January, the Barna Group out of California sent out their update. Christianity is no longer America's default faith. That was 2009. They say for much of America's history, the assumption was that if you were born in America, you would affiliate with the Christian faith. But a new nationwide survey indicates that people's views have changed dramatically. Over 50% of the adults interviewed agreed that Christianity is no longer the faith that Americans automatically accept for their personal faith. That was in 2009, my friends. 16 years ago. Two-thirds of evangelical Christians, that is 64%, and three out of every five Hispanics, 60%, embraced that same position. In other words, that Christianity was no longer the faith the Americans automatically accept for their personal faith. Residents of the Northeast and Northwest were much more likely than those from the South and Midwest to assert that Christianity had lost its place as the first faith option when people consider. The Christian faith is less of a life perspective than challenges the supremacy of individualism, as it is a faith being defined through individualism, said Barna. Growing numbers of people now serve as their own theologian in residence. Americans are embracing an unpredictable and contradictory body of beliefs. Feelings and emotions now play a significant role in the development of people's faith views, much more significant than information-based exercises such as listening to preaching and participating in Bible study. In other words, the Bible had lost its authority in the mind and heart of the American people. And even so in so-called evangelicals and even so-called fundamentalists. Why? Because we've substituted our own authority for that of the Bible's authority. In other words, we engage in what you might say the cafeteria plan of reading the Bible and what we choose to believe. We believe what we want to believe and dismiss or cut out that which we don't agree with. In other words, we're creating ourselves, making ourselves a custom-made God. We're making ourselves equal to God. A few months later, in 2009, came this report. The very year that Why Religion Went Obsolete, the Christian Smith, the author of that book, stating the demise of traditional faith in America, said that he could point to 2009 as the fulcrum point. In 1992, that was the big turnover for the country, massive turnover. And I believe that's why God spoke to my heart to leave the practice of law to plead his cause in the land. It's a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. People couldn't understand that. Why a voice to the church? Aren't we the good guys? Why would you preach to the choir? Because the choir was the one that God was concerned about. It was the choir that was losing its tone. Its accuracy. It wasn't sounding a symphony with what God was having to say. And so ever since then, since 1995, we launched this radio program over 30 years ago, faithfully continuing to get the message out as best possible. But the resistance is so great. And that's why I say repeatedly, we need your assistance if you are able to do so. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismier and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, we're taking a look today at what has happened to the spiritual condition and focus of the United States of America and its citizens. And not just in general, but even in God's own house, in the church house. Because, you see, the whole nation is falling away from gathering in churches, gathering to worship, and they're replacing the authority of the Word of God with the authority of their own feelings, the culture, various different groups, their friends, and so on, that are becoming the new moral authority in America. In fact, have been in the process of doing that since before 1990. And that's why in 1982, the Congress, in joint session, passed a resolution to establish 1983 as the year of the Bible, to try to do something to restore the Bible as central in American life, because it was losing traction dramatically in 1982. So, 10 years later, the Lord spoke to my heart right there in my law office in Southern California, saying, "Son, you've been pleading the cause of men long enough. I want you to plead my cause of the land as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation." People said, "Well, why the church?" Because that's God's warmest audience. It used to be said that the church was the central heating engine of the nation. It was the lighthouse of the nation. But Jesus had said, "If the light that is in you be darkness, then how great is that darkness?" So you see, we have a problem. We have a great problem, and the problem is not Russia. The problem is not China. The problem is not Ukraine. The problem is not Gaza. Those are problems. Yes, they are. And I'm not meaning to demean those problems, but the problem is more fundamental, much deeper, going into the very essence of who we are before God. Now, to help us with this, I wrote a book called Renewing the Soul of America. Renewing the Soul of America. And there's a reason why 38 national Christian leaders endorsed that book. Because that book revealed what was happening, and it also revealed the answers, what we could individually do and be and become to make a difference. So the subtitle of the book was, Renewing the Soul of America, One Person at a Time, Beginning with You. In other words, people say, "Well, what can I do?" It's not a matter of sending a fax to the government or an email. It's a matter of what we must be. If we will be what we must be, then we will do what we must do. Our problem is a lack of being what God wants us to be. We don't do what he wants us to do because we're not being what he wants us to be. We have lost the authority We've abandoned in large measure the authority of God and his word, and it happened because we abandoned the fear of the Lord in the land. And that was the beginning of wisdom. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. When you abandon the fear of the Lord, you have abandoned all biblical sense. You no longer hear the voice of the Lord straightly. You don't interpret the word of God straightly because you think you're the only, that you're the big authority, that you don't have to listen to God's viewpoint. And that's why we say here on this program every day, viewpoint determines destiny. It does. If our viewpoint doesn't line up with God's viewpoint, then what viewpoint does it line up with? Our own? The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party? What does it line up with? The culture? Has the culture become king? Apparently. So, the book Renewing the Soul of America will encourage your heart, just as it has encouraged the hearts of thousands. $15 will put that book in your hands and you won't be disappointed. It will be hopeful. It will be healing. It will point direction instead of just laying out an analysis of things. We're analyzing here today, helping us to understand how we got to where we are. But then the question is, okay, what do I do? How do I respond? That's what the book is about. How do I respond? $15 will put Renewing the Soul of America in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Again, there's got to be a reason why 38 national Christian leaders, many who were even opposed to one another in different areas, said, this is the answer we have needed. All right. Now, all that having been said, we want to shift now to the article that came out January 28, 2009. This was a press release that came out. According to a new Gallup poll, two-thirds of Americans believe religion is losing ground in the United States. Likewise, the Barna Research Group, which specializes in researching trends in Christianity, found that half of all Americans now believe Christianity is no longer the country's default religion. This is probably the most biblically illiterate generation of believers and leaders that I've ever known, said Dr. Henry Blackaby. Dr. Henry Blackaby wrote the book, Experiencing God. Thousands and thousands of Americans bought that book. We interviewed him here on this program. He said, we follow human reasoning that usually comes from the world rather than Scripture. When God's people are not hearing from God, then everyone does what is right in his own eyes, and you have spiritual anarchy. I'm sensing that trend across the Christian community in America. And that was in 2009, my friends, 16 years ago. Then Lloyd Ogilvie, former chaplain of the United States Senate, confirmed that message. I interviewed the following chaplain of the United States Senate, who came out of his deathbed to join me on this program. And the message that he communicated was, the church has lost its way and we're in deep trouble as the American people. So, we're going to a variety of different sources here and tracing this time-wise. There's a timeline as to how this has been manifested and how it has come about. Next, even the Christian Science Monitor got involved in it, calling it a spiritual crisis. The coming evangelical collapse, they said. An anti-Christian chapter in Western history is about to begin. We are on the verge. Within 10 years, this is in 2009, within 10 years of a major collapse of evangelical Christianity, this breakdown will follow the deterioration of the mainline Protestant world, and it will fundamentally alter the religious and cultural environment in the entire West. In the Protestant 20th century, evangelicals flourished, but they will soon be living in a very secular and religiously antagonistic 21st century. Isn't that where we're living? That's why the Family Research Council did, for the last 5 years, a study on his hostility against churches in the United States. That's coming from the people, friends. We the people. Intolerance of Christianity will rise to levels many of us have not believed possible in our lifetimes. Public policy will become hostile toward evangelical Christianity, seeing it as the opponent of the common good. To a certain extent, that's actually what the former Pope did. He was all about the common good rather than about the authority of the scriptures. This article said millions of evangelicals will quit, that is, fall away. Thousands of ministries will end. Christian media will be reduced, if not eliminated. Many Christian schools will go into rapid decline. The end of evangelicalism as we know it is close. Amazing, isn't it? They said, we evangelicals have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught. Christian education has not produced a product that can withstand the rising tide of secularism. The confrontation between cultural secularism and the faith at the core of evangelical efforts to do good is rapidly approaching. So look for ministries to take on a less and less distinctively Christian face in order to survive. Even in areas where evangelicals imagine themselves strong, like the Bible Belt, we will find a great inability to pass on to our children a vital evangelical confidence in the Bible and the importance of the faith. The money will dry up. Isn't this amazing? Then, 2 years later, a Duke University professor wrote a piece for the Associated Press, Americans' Religious Faith Waning. Despite the prominence of religious believers in politics and culture, America has shrinking congregations, growing dissatisfaction with religious leaders, and more people who do not think about faith, according to a new study by a Duke University expert. In America, Religion, Contemporary Trends, author Mark Chavez argues that over the last generation or so, religious belief in the United States has experienced a softening that affects everything from whether people go to worship services regularly to whom they marry. Signs of religious vitality may be camouflaging stagnation or decline. And at the same time, we have so-called evangelists out there who are saying, don't worry, everything's cool. Generation Z is coming forth. We're having a new revival. What are they talking about? On what basis are they finding this? We want to take a look at that when we get back. This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint is determining destiny, friends. America's Viewpoint. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Whatever happened to Christian convictions in America? Whatever happened to us? Well, we're talking about that here today on Viewpoint, and we're discovering that there really is a pattern and answers. The question is whether we're willing to respond, because over these years, in fact, through this ministry for 30 years, over 30 years now, we've been talking about this and trying to help God's people understand the gravity of what is taking place. The serious gravity of what is taking place. It's not like the pagans falling away. They already were falling away. It's the professing Christians that have been falling away. We no longer believe in the Bible as complete authority. Some say they do, but not really, because when it comes down to it, they differ from what God has said in so many, many different areas and make excuses. It's unbelievable how this happens. George Gallup, back in 1997, said the churches of America face no greater challenge as we approach the next century than overcoming biblical illiteracy. The prospects for doing so are formidable, because the stark fact is many Americans don't know what they believe or even why. We say we revere the Bible, but we don't read it. The Bible has not in any profound way penetrated our culture, and that was in 1997. So, he said, there's a need to treat biblical illiteracy in this country with all the urgency of a medical emergency. Many people do not read anything in what has been described as a post-literate society. They say they have a lack of time, frantic lives, do not have the discipline to make time for reading. Men are horrible about this. They won't read books. They won't read the Bible. It's unbelievable. The men have abandoned spiritual authority in their homes, in our churches. I'm not saying every single man, but for the most part, men are in deep trouble. So, America's pollster, George Gallup, in 1997. Then, also in 1997, in another issue of their publication, he said one of the clear challenges facing churches is how to transform spirituality into faithful, committed witness that is biblically rooted. Americans revere the Bible but do not read it. We are a nation of biblical illiterates. What? Talk about a diagnosis, a spiritual diagnosis, friends. God said he gave us his word, not to be okayed, but to be obeyed. So let's move forward to our current generation, Generation Z. We have a variety of different views that are coming out here. This from the Christian Post today. Only a quarter of Generation Z attends church at least once a month. Only 28% of Generation Z Americans say they're committed to attending religious services at least once a month. 14% identify as atheist or agnostic. The Generation Z post-election results poll released this month by the Walton Family Foundation surveyed Generation Z participants ages 15 to 25. About 23% of Generation Z respondents said they attend religious services a few times a year. A higher percentage of adults 26 and over, that is the millennials, said that they seldom attend religious services. 31% of Generation Z respondents said they never attend religious services. 32% of millennials said the same. Only 75% of Generation Z respondents said they identified as heterosexual or straight, compared to 92% of older adults. In other words, Generation Z, 25% say they don't identify as what they were created to be, heterosexual or straight. Do you understand the significance of this? This is what Jesus said would be characterized as the final generation before his second coming. It would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. 24% of Generation Z respondents said they identified as Catholic. Only 9% of Generation Z identified as Protestant. 11% of Generation Z respondents and 9% of older adults identified as fundamentalist evangelical Christian. Very few. 26% of Generation Z youth surveys said they have no religious preference. When asked how important religion is in their lives, 39% of Generation Z respondents said religion is very important. What are they talking about? Here's what they're talking about. I'm spiritual. Has nothing to do with the Christian faith, has nothing to do with trusting in God, has nothing to do with the nature of Christ having died for our sins, the need for salvation, has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with a complete revised version of spirituality. That's the new religion. It's New Age. It's Oprah Winfrey religion. And so Generation Z has abandoned. Why have they abandoned so horribly that which their grandparents and great-grandparents embraced? Well, it's not necessarily a mystery. It just isn't. For one thing, they have all of this contrarian investment in teaching and inculcation in the schools, in the universities and colleges that are totally against the Christian faith. Then, in addition to that, they have watched their parents and grandparents divorce and remarry, and divorce and remarry, showing utter and total impunity to the authority of God as his word, where Jesus said, whoever divorces their spouse causes them to commit adultery, and whoever marries the one so divorced commits adultery. Generation Z says, you know what? They don't believe any of that. Their parents, their grandparents obviously didn't believe any of that and didn't live accordingly. So why should they? We want to be spiritual, we just don't want to buy into all that, that phony baloney stuff. So then, on the counter aspect, we have those articles that are saying, well, don't write Generation Z off. There's a revival occurring in Generation Z. They're coming by the tens of thousands to great gatherings and baptisms and so on. The problem with that is, friends, there is no indication of any repentance. There's no seeming call to repentance. It's just baptizing. It's, let's join the big movement here, whatever that is. There's no indication. They say they're hungry for Jesus. Where is the display for hungry for Jesus? What Jesus are they talking about? Are they talking about the Jesus of the Bible, or are they talking about the gender Jesus, sweet and mild, who always says, speaks with a lisp and a limp wrist? And says what you want to hear. We've got a serious, serious problem, friends. And can you imagine how God is looking at our country? Now, on top of this, we take a look at not only is our country systematically abandoning the God who gave it birth, tearing down every sacred institution and mocking every holy thing, we see that. But how about this article that just came out yesterday? Porn is undermining every ministry in the church. Porn undermining every ministry in the church. Quietly eroding the spiritual health of congregations worldwide and undermining every ministry in the local church, from children's programs to marriage counseling. How about the church that just had to dismiss their pastor because he was admitted to being involved in pornography and didn't find anything wrong with it, was going to persist in it? How about the fact that about 70% of professing Christian men are engaged in pornography by their own admission? And over 30% of Christian pastors are engaged in pornography by their own admission. And about 30% of Christian women are also engaged in pornography by their own admission. What do we make of this? How does this resonate with a generation that feels lost, sort of abandoned like their parents were? They're lonely. What are they going to find? Where are they going to find truth? They can't find it. And so people are trying to sell them something, a Jesus that isn't fully Jesus, a God that isn't fully God, to make them feel better, to kind of seduce them into a sort of a revival fervor, but the foundation is not there. And as the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So I ask you that question. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, are you righteous? Are you seeking to walk with the Lord in the light of his word? What a glory he sheds on your way. Will you do his good will? He abides with you still and with all who will trust and obey. Okay, here's the deal then. Get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. It will help you get a clearer picture of where you fit, where all of this fits in your life, the life of your family, the life of your congregation. It is more apropos today than the day it was written, more relevant today than the day it was written, because the situation has declined so rapidly. We're just bailing water while the ship goes under. No, we need to have an answer. We need to have a resolution of the matter. We need to have clear direction. That's where the hope comes from. And that kind of hope will not make ashamed. So I want to urge you again, get a copy of the book, Renewing the Soul of America. One person at a time, beginning with you. Really, I believe that God will work in your life through it. There will be change in your life, change in your family, change in your congregation. Pastors have used this book in their congregations. This is a book of answers. That's why 38 National Christian Leaders endorsed it. They said it was unlike anything that had come out concerning the issues of our time. I hope you'll see it that way as well. $15, we'll put it in your hands. It's on the website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Now, there's another thing that I just want to mention on the side, and that is how much I appreciate those of you who have been so incredibly faithful over the years in helping to support what we're doing. Unfortunately, and for a variety of reasons, some people die, pass away, other people move out of an area so they're no longer listening on a radio station in their area, and so we lose their connection and they don't seem to understand how they can continue to connect. But in any event, there is kind of an attrition, and we're experiencing that. We're also experiencing probably some of the economic fallout of what we've just been talking about here today. So if you value what we're doing here and you take seriously this warning and a message to encourage us, to goad us on to be and become what God would have us to be and become, then I urge you to take seriously the whole idea of underwriting what we're doing. Go to the Lord, ask we would have you to give, and do it today. Don't delay, friends, because it's becoming increasingly difficult to keep the program on the air. God bless. Be a blessing. And let's be the church that God would have us to be. One person.